we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we get to spend the next half hour together. I pray that your New Year's is off to a great start, and we are looking forward to all that God is going to do. I want to tell you about our Friday night, one-day vacation Bible school for the kids that have been out of school and getting ready to go back. We're doing a one-night vacation Bible school. It's about an hour and a half long. Called Deep Sea Fishing. We're going to have a great time for the kids. There's going to be some things done indoors, outdoors, weather permitting as well. So if you have kids that are school age and would like for something for them to do on Friday night, this maybe, you know, give you a quick date night or whatever. That's going to be Friday night. It's in the early part of the evening. I think we're done by 7:30, 7:45, something like that. So give us a call. You can find out more information by calling 321-454-4263. We also want to say thank you today to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 632-9538. Dennis and Carla, major blessings to the church and to the community here in Brevard County. They travel all throughout the county from the southern end to the northern end. Work on all types of units, whether it's regular home construction or modular home construction, mobile home construction, package units, air handlers, outside units, whatever combination you've got. Give them a call, 632-9538. I was talking to Dennis here last week, and he said for some reason he's been was getting a lot of calls on heaters because we did have that cold snap last weekend. And I encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity to get your unit serviced, maintenance done on it in advance. That way you don't have to worry about things malfunctioning when you need it the most. So 632-9538, they will do a great job for you. We're going to go back to Isaiah the 58th chapter today. Isaiah the 58th. The chapter going to begin reading in verse number 6, and it says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in." We probably will not get that far today, so I'm going to stop the reading there. I do want to invite you to participate with us. We're going to be doing 20 days of fasting between this coming Sunday and 20 days from there, so almost 3 weeks, and we're asking our congregation to join us in fasting 20 meals during that time, 20 meals. So that could be breakfast, it could be lunch, it could be dinner, you could fast all of those for a week. We're building in some flexibility because there are people who have health concerns that might not be able to do a prolonged fast. There may be schedules that come up. And so we have built in some flexibility here to allow this not just to be a biblical teaching. And I can't wait to share with you the conclusion that as I was praying about this, that God gave to me, that I'll be sharing when we're done with Isaiah 58 here. But fasting is not just something that we need to be taught about. It needs to be something that we implement. So we're right now talking about things that God defines as fasting that are different from man's practices of fasting. And so we have talked about treating those who work for us well, to not be engaged in strife and discord, to not be drawn into meaningless debates versus being fruitful, to release those who are oppressed by wickedness. God's fast is to abandon wickedness, to remove burdens from others, to feed the hungry, care for the poor, help them in need, and to not isolate ourselves from the needy. A lot of times we, you know, right now I see our society being engineered to isolate people from one another. You have to be intentional to be community-minded now. You have everything that you need in your house. You don't even need to go out and go grocery shopping, or you don't need to go out of your house to do your Christmas shopping, birthday shopping, whatever it is. Everything can come to your door, and you know, there are some blessings for that convenience. But if it isolates you to the point that you no longer engage with other people, I believe that you are at that point in time in a very dangerous situation. So I want to encourage you, don't isolate yourself. Do what you can to get out, get involved. I pray that this year would be a year that you are more involved in the house of God, in your community, that you are ministering to the needs of others than any other year that you have experienced thus far. So we're going to look at a few more things that God points out here. It says, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. Okay, so I like to take these and put them into understandable phrases that you and I can benefit from on a practical level. And the pointing of the finger is something that everybody has experienced at some point in time in their life. I'm old enough to remember when baseball managers would go out and confront the home plate umpire, and I can remember them pointing their finger and coming as close to the umpire as they could without touching him. We tease a certain relative because they have a propensity for taking that index finger and they use it as an emphasis, and they just tap it on the table when they're talking. But when you are pointing your finger at other people, what you are doing is you are assigning blame rather than assuming responsibility. What if in 2017, rather than just pointing to other people to find out whose fault it is, what if we were fasting and praying and we were looking for solutions? You see, in our politics right now, each side points at the other and says, you are to blame for this, you are to blame for that. And it's a mess that we all have to live with. And so I like to, if somebody comes up to me and they tell me a problem, I say, okay, what do you suppose the solution to this problem is? You know, get them involved in the problem-solving process instead of the blaming situation. It's very easy to point your finger at other people. There's the old saying that if you point a finger at someone, you've got three fingers pointing back at you. If I use my right hand, I only have two. So I'm one-third less responsible than those who are pointing the finger elsewhere. That's just a joke. So you and I, we need to not be looking at people because as the problem. We need to be looking as a community for a solution. And the best way to go about finding that solution is on our knees, hearing from God and saying, God, whatever you want me to do, how do you want to solve this? You've got a solution to this problem. You've got a solution to this problem. One of my favorite historical figures is George Washington Carver, who was an inventor down in the South. And whenever he came upon a problem, he would go and he would shut himself in and all by himself until God had given him the solution. And then he would come out and there was not a blame situation going on at that point in time. There was a problem solving. And so when you're fasting, you can't be pointing the finger before God and saying, God, it's their fault. It's their fault. The truth of the matter is nobody makes you angry. You choose to be angry. It's just the reality. Nobody can make you do something that you refuse to do. They tried valiantly to get Jesus to condemn himself with his speech, but it said he was silent as a lamb before his accusers. You and I, we need to say, you know what? I'm not here in pointing blame. I'm here to solve the problem. Along with that, verse number 9 concludes with speaking wickedness. Speaking wickedness. James points out that the tongue is an instrument of our body that no man on his own can control. You can try and hold your peace. You can try and deflect and use humor to try and diffuse, but nobody can control the tongue. It takes the lordship of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in order for him to do the work in our heart that manifest, the condition of our heart is manifest in the words that we speak. And so when you hear those words that are coming out of your mouth, it is reflective of what is going on inside of you and inside of me. And I think that a lot of times we would be greatly benefited by being able to hear what comes out of our mouth. Because a lot of times people speak without engaging their brain. And then they say, I don't know where that came from. It came out of your heart. I wish I hadn't said that. I understand that. But you did say that. So now we need to have God, during this time of fasting, working in our heart so that our mouth is a tool of blessing and not a tool of cursing. So you get rid of the blame game, and then you use your mouth to edify, to build up, rather than to tear down. Verse number 10 says, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. This means there is two aspects that are tied to this ministry to the hungry and to the afflicted, and neither one of them involve your finances. Neither one of them involve your actual food. That's already been addressed before. But here in verse number 10, God says, I want you to be fully engaged in ministering beyond just tangible needs. You know, we've just come through a Christmas season where there was a lot of donations that were given out. The Brevard County Sheriff's Office blessed a large number of kids with brand new bicycles for Christmas. That was an absolutely wonderful program. Thank you to Sheriff Ivy for that and for all of the officers that were involved in that process. There were free meals given out. There were Christmas presents given out, all of that. But I wonder how much of that was people being engaged beyond a monetary donation. Here, Isaiah says, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. a number of those tangible issues are realities in people's life. Now here, I'm not here to assign blame. I'm just pointing out something. A number of those tangible issues are problems because of a soul that is needing ministering to. It needs to be ministered to. And so do we minister to people who are hungry? Yes. But we also try and address the root of the problem. What is going on that has caused this situation to arise? I know people whose mindset towards the things that they have was affected because of something that happened to them much earlier in life. There are people that if they experience an unexpected death in the family, that they will try and self-medicate, not with drugs or alcohol, but sometimes by overextending themselves financially. There are people always trying to do that with drugs and alcohol and immoral relationships and things like that. But you need to find out what was it that was going on. And if it's a grieving process, I've got good news for you. God is able to comfort and minister and heal. So we need to find out what is the root of the problem. We want to address that so that this tangible problem that the people are experiencing doesn't have to come back upon them again. I am a believer in the redeeming grace of God, that if you've blown it like I've blown it, that God is able to heal, to forgive, to restore, to equip and empower so that you are a transformed individual going forward. I don't want 2017 to be a repeat of 2016. I need God to work in my heart to such an extent that I am extending myself beyond my finances. I'm engaged mentally, I'm engaged spiritually, I'm engaged emotionally. I'm engaged in the ministry because I want people to know that God loves them, He cares for them, and he wants to live in their heart and use them for His glory. So get your whole being involved. And then verse number 13 talks about some other issues here that should be a part of our fast. And as I'm looking at verse number 13, it begins with this big word, and I haven't read that yet, so I'll go ahead and read verses 13 through 14. It says, "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken." So this verse number 13 begins with the same word as verse number 10 did. In the middle part of verse number 9, there you see God says, when you're fasting, if that's the biggest two-letter word for life transformation, if you will choose my option instead of your option, then there will be a completely different result. So I want to ask you today, are you willing to give God His way when it comes to if? We could do this or we could do this. God says, if you do A, the consequence will happen. If you do B, the benefit will happen. You know, and it could vacillate in between positive and negative depending upon where you are. But He says, there are a couple of things that I want to mention about this. And it has to do with the Sabbath. It has to do with corporate worship. It has to do with coming together as a body of believers in obedience to the direction that God has asked. And it says, I am going to treat this as the Lord's day. Jesus made it his habit to be in the synagogue when the meetings were taking place in the synagogue. That wasn't the only time he taught the word. It wasn't the only time he gathered together with people. It wasn't the only time he ministered to people. But it was his practice to be in God's house. How much more so should we be in God's house? I have said before, and I will say again, I don't know how people survive outside of being actively involved in a church family. You need to be in the house of God. You need, I just came here this morning and I had been in the Word and I was doing my devotions and there were three things that God spoke to me, and I said, I'm going to write those down so that I don't forget them. I love going into a church service where I get to, you know, I'm so used to going into a church service and speaking that when I get to go to a church service and I get to sit there and hear the Word of God, it is like the veil between heaven and earth becomes very thin and the Holy Spirit begins speaking. Sometimes it's in relation to things that I'm hearing, and sometimes it's completely and totally unrelated. But I love getting into those corporate environments. And so there were three things here. It says, first of all, you've got to recognize that it's the Sabbath. It's supposed to be a day of rest. You're not supposed to be doing your pleasure. You're supposed to be honoring that as God's holy day. There are a lot of people who say, look, that is my day. Sunday is my day. And you need to realize it's not. It's God's. We need that day. Some people worship on Saturdays. Some people worship on Sundays. Whatever day that is for you, you need to make sure that you honor God with God's day. And it says here, and call the Sabbath a delight. Call the Sabbath a delight. When you think about going to church, does it cause a moan or does it cause a smile? Does it cause you to say, oh no, or does it cause you to say, yes, I get to go to the house of the Lord? And so we're trying to minister to kids. That's what Friday night is all about. So that they have a appreciation and enjoy coming to the house of the Lord, that it's not a place of strife, that it is a place of blessing, that it is a place where the Word of God is imparted to them. So we have various ministries. We've got a youth ministry that meets on Sunday night at 6:30. We have kids' junior Bible quiz that goes on Sunday night at 6:30. So while the adults are having our prayer and Bible study, we've got kids that are experiencing ministry on their level, because we want them, when they come to that point, that crossroad in their life where they are choosing, am I going to serve God or am I going to walk away from Him, that they will say, you know, being a part of Merit Assembly of God was one of the best parts of my life. Several years ago, I had a Sunday night service. I was looking out my office window and I saw this vehicle pull up. It was before the service, and they hung around for a little bit. They lingered for a little bit, and then they were getting ready to drive off. And so I went out there and I talked to them, and come to find out, it was a young lady who was now serving our country in the military, but she had grown up at Merit Assembly of God. She had moved away and she was back in Brevard County. And she said, you know, the time that I was here, it was just such a blessing to my life that I asked my family if they would bring me up from Melbourne to Merritt Island, because I really enjoyed the time that we had Merritt Assembly of God, a vital part of our life. And the other thing is the holy day of the Lord is honorable. The holy day of the Lord is honorable. So you recognize the ownership of the day is God's day. It's God's day. You say, I am going to do this not because I have to, but because I enjoy it. It is something that brings pleasure to me and pleasure to God. And then you say, God, I am going to honor you today. You know, a lot of times when we come into church, we evaluate it as to what it did for us. But what if we looked at our worship experience and say, you know, I'm not really going to focus right now on how relevant this is to that person or this person. What I'm going to do is I'm going to focus this time on being a blessing, an obedient servant to God. He is worthy of worship, and I'm going to worship him. I'm going to praise him. Now I think that we ought to do what we do with excellence, and we ought to strive for excellence. I also think that we need to say, God, what is it that you would like to be done in this situation? You know, several years ago, I made a trip out to my parents' house. They had a project. It needed to be done. They didn't have anybody there that was going to be able to do it. And so when I got out there, my dad and I began to tackle this project, and we were discussing strategies. And I suggested a strategy, and he wanted to do it differently. And I looked at him and I said this, you know what? I'm here to serve you. I'm here to help you. This is your house. We're going to do this house exactly the way that you want it to be done. And that's what we did. I believe that when we come to church, that we should say, God, this is your house. I am your temple. I am going to honor you today. Everything else gets checked at the door. This is a scheduled meeting that I enjoy, and I'm not going to allow outside distractions and outside problems and outside circumstances to deprive you of the wholehearted worship that you deserve. Let's set it as our goal that when we come into the house of God, that we are there to worship him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, that we're there to worship him with everything that we have inside of us. And when we go out, we're not going to be fatigued. We're going to be refreshed, because we will also benefit as God pours out into our lives. That's what the day of the Lord should be about. Hopefully we will see you at Merit Assembly of God. If not, I hope you're at a Bible preaching church close to you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on The Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.